Did you know that African Americans have more than twice as much abortions as white Americans? That's not true, because it's three times as much. That's not true, because it's four times as much.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. What does the Bible have to say about abortion? What does the Bible have to say about sexual freedom and freedom of choice? This evening, Pastor Brian Grant brings the concluding part of his message begun last week, in which he explores answers to these divisive questions from a biblical perspective by developing four facts about true reproductive freedom that must guide the conduct of believers in this permissive world. Here again is Pastor Grant.
Let me try to explore the question a little further. Is a mom carrying a fetus or a living human? Let's assume, can I use a hypothetical illustration? Diane Jones was 6 months pregnant with a fetus who had medical challenges. Joan James was also 6 months pregnant with a fetus who was perfectly healthy. They were both admitted to Hope Hospital. Joan James went to the fourth floor where abortions are done, while Diane Jones went to the sixth floor where life-saving surgery was done on babies. Early that afternoon, Joan James, her fetus was removed by surgical abortion. During the process, the fetus's skull had to be crushed. Oh, you don't realize that at a certain point, it just doesn't go like that. They have to literally crush the skull to ease the extraction. The fetus's skull was crushed to ease removal, and a sharp tool was used to scrape out the remaining tissue from the uterus. Later that afternoon, the surgeons successfully delivered Diane Jones's precious baby girl. Two ladies entered the same hospital, both 6 months pregnant, on different floors. The healthy fetus was terminated, but the baby with medical problems was delivered alive and went on to thrive. Here's the question. Was the fetus that Joan James terminated also a living baby? You don't have to be a rocket scientist for the answer. Is obvious. Both ladies were carrying babies who were alive, and get this, babies who were made in the image of God. So, young people, don't let Satan fool you into believing a baby is a fetus. For every baby is a human being made in the image of God. And that's why a mom will grieve after a miscarriage. Have you noticed how moms sometimes grieve? Some moms will actually every year they have an anniversary for the loss of that child, because that mom recognizes she was carrying what? A living baby. It hurts. They felt the baby moving. They knew the baby was alive. Don't allow the devil to trick you into believing it's okay. Because listen, if you want to go ahead and do it, don't pretend that it was not a living human being, because it clearly was. But what does the Bible have to say? Let's go to Psalm 139, if you don't mind. Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 13 to 16. And David, as he talks to God about when he was in his mom's womb, he said, "You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb." He was fully alive. "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret." God, you saw me even when I was here in my mom's womb. My frame was not hidden from you. And you skillfully wrought me in the lowest parts of the earth. You are putting everything together in an incredibly skillful way. Amen. "Your eyes saw my substance yet being unformed. I wasn't even delivered yet." Listen, even before. "And in your book there were all written the days fashioned for me when as yet there was none of them." God saw him. God knew him. He had not entered the world, but he was very much alive. Amen. Exodus chapter 21. Exodus chapter 21, verse 22 to 25. Exodus 21, verse 22. "If men fight and hurt a woman with child so that she gives birth prematurely, yet no harm follows." I'm reading from Exodus 21. I'm in verse 22. "He shall surely be punished according as the woman's husband imposes on him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. If there's no harm to anybody, there's still going to be a fine. But if any harm follows, if anybody's harmed, you shall give what? Life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe." The baby in the womb is a living being. But here's another question. Are you with me? If you're still with me, say amen. Amen. Are you still leaving the politics outside? I know it's hard. But since a mom is carrying a living baby, doesn't the child she is carrying also have rights? Or does the mom have all the rights since she is in the position of power? So you see, so it's important I establish this is a living person in her womb. If she's carrying a living person, does that living person have rights? Or since she's the one in power, does she have all the rights? Let's be careful how we answer. For some of us had four parents whose rights were denied by those with more power. Am I right about that? But despite our history, African American women are denying the rights of their babies, the babies they're carrying, at a greater rate than any other ethnic group in America. Did you know that? Did you know that African Americans have more than twice as much abortions as white Americans? That's not true, because it's three times as much. That's not true, because it's four times as much. That's not true either. It's slightly over four times as much. African Americans are aborting their babies at more than four times the rate of white Americans. Sounds like genocide to me. Something, I better stay with my notes. But I tell you, sometimes when I hear the debate and they're telling us that they have to make abortion available because black Americans need it so badly. We don't need an abortion. We need the gospel. And we need, listen, all of us in our church and those listening to me, instead of spending so much time, instead of joining the political debate, I urge you, take up your Bible and try and not only encourage someone to get saved, but help them to walk with God, the omnipotent God who is able to transform our lives. Listen, we need to start living by the book. But in the meantime, the government has to do a little more to give a little helping hand for those who are hurting. Well, that is my political statement. I better get back to what I want to talk about. Abortion cannot lead to true reproductive freedom, for true reproductive freedom would not destroy the rights of others. It would not destroy the rights of living humans. So far we've talked about true reproductive freedom will not produce guilt. Second, it will not destroy the rights of others. Here's the third thing to add to your notes. True reproductive freedom waits for God's timing. You say, where in the world did that come from? Oh, this is important. If we're really trying to understand what true reproductive freedom is, we need to realize it waits for God's timing. Listen, if you really want to, listen, young people, I see so many of you here, and some of you are paying attention. If you really want to discover true reproductive freedom, you will have to wait for Mr. Right or Miss Right. Amen? You will have to wait until God leads you to Mr. Right or Miss Right. This whole subject is usually divorced from this discussion, but it is very much a part of the discussion. Are you aware that if the world took God's word seriously, their abortion rate would plummet? If young people were encouraged to wait until they found Mr. Right or Miss Right, the abortion rate would plummet. Did you realize that 85% of all abortions in America are being committed by people who are not married? 85%. If we took God seriously, you say, what did God have to say about this? Well, jump over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. And here's what it says. You want to know the will of God? It starts off by saying, this is the will of God. Your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. You want to know the will of God? Abstain from sexual immorality. And if you abstain from sexual immorality, you would not have to make a decision about whether or not to do an abortion. Abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. If that wasn't clear enough for you, I hope this verse will be clearer. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. One of the tragedies of our time is that many Christian parents no longer teach their children to save sex until marriage. Are you aware of that? The Christians aren't teaching it, so guess what? The unsaved aren't teaching it either. There was a time even unsaved parents told their kids, don't have sex till you're married. Today, it's through the window. Because the assumption is that there's so much sex all around us. How in the world could anybody live and not have sex? In fact, people have told me that. Oh, you must be kidding. How could we live without having sex before we got married? Actually, you really could. There's a whole lot of us who have pulled that off by God's grace. Amen. It actually is doable. Parents, let me open. Pastor, you're not for real. That can't be done today. You know, when I go to Jamaica, I usually like to have some fried red snapper. Anybody ever had fried red snapper? Oh, it is unbelievable, isn't it? Oh, if you haven't had it, you have to have it in Jamaica. Don't worry with these Trinidadian folks and these folks from these other islands. You got to get it in Jamaica. And if you want them to put a little Escovitch sauce on it, that's even better. But, although the red snapper spends his entire life in the salty Caribbean Sea, when it's caught, unless they season it with some salt, I don't even want to eat it. It has no flavor. Because somehow, although it spends its life in the Caribbean Sea, it stays fresh. The omnipotent God keeps the red snapper fresh in the salty sea. And young person and parents, the same God who keeps red snapper fresh in the salty sea is able to keep your child pure in a dirty world. Teenager, young adult, don't let anybody fool you into believing you can't. By the power of the Spirit of God living in you, you can say no to sin. The omnipotent God is able to keep us pure in a dirty world. And today I encourage every teenager to make a new commitment to Jesus. Listen, you may have fallen off the wagon before. Don't let Satan trick you into believing. You got to stay off the wagon. Make a commitment to God today. God, help me by your grace and by your omnipotent power to stay clean in this dirty world so that I won't have to be another one of the statistics. Sadly, teenagers are not being encouraged to go God's way. Mom came to me and she said, Pastor, I've been trying to get my daughter to use birth control, but she says she doesn't like it. So she's having her third abortion. You see, a lot of young people are using abortion as birth control. Do I have this thing on properly? They're using abortion as birth control. Young person, there's a better way. God says, learn how to control that sex drive, and he will help you to do it by his power. Amen. So what is true reproductive freedom? You can put this in your notes. True reproductive freedom happens within the marriage covenant. You will never enjoy true reproductive freedom outside of the marriage covenant. It happens within the marriage covenant when a couple determine before God. You see, true reproductive freedom doesn't happen when somebody tricks the other one. I know he doesn't want or she doesn't want a baby, but I'm going to trick her and make her get pregnant or whatever. When the couple determines before God if and when they will have children. Listen, what have I said so far? We've said true reproductive freedom will not produce guilt, Second, true reproductive freedom will not destroy the rights of others. Third, true reproductive freedom waits for God's timing. And finally, true reproductive freedom requires faith in our forgiving, omnipotent Savior. You know, as we said at the beginning, we will never be able to please God in our own strength. Amen? We cannot pull it off in our own strength because sinning comes naturally to sinners. But today, God can dramatically change your life. Greg Smalley is well known as Vice President of Focus on the Family. And he is a powerful illustration of God's forgiveness. You know, in his early 20s, Greg Smalley got his girlfriend pregnant. And fearing it would damage their reputation and their future, they decided to abort the baby before the church found out she was pregnant. That happens today still, you know. Even Christians sometimes, to hide it, they get an abortion. And that's what they did. For years, Greg Smalley struggled with guilt because he felt that God would never forgive him. But finally, he realized that our loving, forgiving Savior is always willing to forgive a repentant sinner. And God not only forgave him, but over a process of time, God helped him through a process of inner healing. And today, as I said, Greg Smalley is being powerfully used of God at Focus on the Family. My friend, none of us can point fingers at the other, because the truth is, we are all sinners. We were all born sinners. We were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. But I am glad I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because forgiveness is always available at the cross. Amen? My Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, what? Cleanses us from all sin. So no matter what you've done, whether it's an abortion or abortions, whether it's some other sin. You know, sometimes we like to point the finger at the person who does the stuff we haven't done. Sometimes they say, if you only point one, there's a whole lot pointing back. So we are all in the boat together. Amen? We're all sinners. But I am so glad I can share with you on the authority of the Word of God that God's forgiveness is available today. David was one of the heroes of the Bible, but you know, before he was a hero, he was a murderer and an adulterer. But in Psalm 32:5, he said, I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. And he said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave me the iniquity of my sin. Forgiveness is available. Cleansing is available. Restoration is available. If today you'll come clean with God and acknowledge your sin, whatever that sin is. Oh, we don't have to know all your business, but God does need to hear it from you. God, I did it. It's me, God. I sinned. Would you please forgive me? You may never have received Jesus Christ as your Savior. Today, forgiveness of sin is available if you will come and receive Him. Will you come today? My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, He would have died just for you. No matter what you have done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you. and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.